Welcome to Bitch Out of Water, a show where we talk about how the hell to survive experiencing life, relationships, jobs, sometimes the least glamorous jobs, like being an assistant to the real-life Miranda Priestleys of the world. We are the World Girls. I'm Lorena. This is Steph.
Hello, hello.
And this is Roxy.
Never had to be an assistant, suckers.
That's actually a huge flex in LA. Huge flex.
I did a lot of other shit, though.
Not an assistant, just an ass, right?
Totally. And sometimes a taint.
So Steph and I both worked as assistants back in the day, and we are here to uplift, defend, protect all our fellow current or ex-assistants out there who have as many possible horror stories as us. So let's get started with what the hell our jobs were, when this happened. So Steph, why don't we talk a little bit about all the jobs you had as an assistant, what they were, how long ago they were, maybe how long you actually did that for?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't grow up knowing exactly what I wanted to do, so I thought that there might be a time where I'd have to be an assistant. I have Asian parents, so they always raised me with this extreme respect for elders and anybody with more experience and time in anything than me. So I knew that when I got to LA, that the position that was most open and probably would help me gain experience in one way or another was an assistant. I think a lot of people who are hoping to be in the entertainment industry start by being an assistant in some way or the other, like you said. So I originally started not as an assistant in anything in the industry, but actually an assistant to a financial advisor. And at the same time, I was working a second job as an assistant to a property manager in one of the richest, if not the richest, neighborhood in entire Beverly Hills, which is, I think, top three richest places in the entire world. So you can only imagine the type of people I was dealing with every day. And then I've been an assistant to celebrities as well. And I've done production assistant too on some commercial sets. So I've kind of like gone around the entire ring of assistantship with different type of people. And they've all taught me a lot. And I'm glad I paid my dues. That's how I like to look at it. Like, I felt like I was paying my dues. But I am so fucking glad to be out of it. Like, there's a time I think every assistant reaches where you tap and you kind of are like, did I do enough in this position? Is it time where I can kind of like use the wings I've grown in this time and fly? And then for me, it's like, when can I fly the fuck away from these people? Because it is such a hard job. Like, Dee and I were just talking about it before. When you're an assistant, it's like everybody's obsessed with you when they get you, because it's the beginning and they love an assistant who's ready to work hard and doesn't have as much like knowledge about what could happen when you're like fresh and new. But I don't know why people who have assistants like feed off of that, and they love you so much until you can no longer achieve the impossible for them, and then they get really bitchy. Dee, what were some of your assistant jobs?
Totally, Steph. I hear you very much so. And I think this happens for sure, either in or out of the entertainment industry, but definitely, especially you see some crazy things in the entertainment industry. And all my assistant jobs were in entertainment. My first job moving to Los Angeles was an executive assistant for a music management firm where we had a bunch of songwriter, producer, artist clients. And then I moved on to like, quote unquote, being a music coordinator for like music supervisor and composer. And then I moved on to an online concert company. And I was the like artist relations person for the main guy. But all of these jobs, still, I don't know if it was because I was a woman, but I was still put as like the assistant, even though I had other position names for the job. But the weird thing is that I still have actually a pretty good relationship with all my previous bosses, even if I don't talk to them as much. But disclaimer, they're decent people that I still, you know, get along with. But in the moment, especially years ago, when the music industry was even worse than it is now, there was just a completely different vibe in the, you know, mid-2000s. That's when you know, the Britney stuff was happening, right? Like the way women were treated in the music industry was really awful and bizarre, even more so than nowadays. So I got to see a lot of weird shit, and it was quite culture shock for me because it, you know, I grew up in Mexico. I saw a bunch of chauvinism and crazy stuff as to how women were treated down there. But moving here and seeing this amongst the most powerful and rich was like very disappointing and weird for somebody that's like, oh, I'm going to move to LA to work in Hollywood and in music. It's kind of a bummer when you see the really like ugly. It's like you see the good and the bad and the ugly, but you really see the ugly, because the fascinating thing about what I learned is that these people really treat you like you're a family member and you're kind of like their shrink. So you get to see them at their worst. And they don't show that side to a lot of people. Like they may show that to their spouses, right? But they really show you like the worst part of themselves, and they make fools of themselves in front of you. So it's a really interesting journey.
So tell me what you guys are talking about, because I have never been an assistant before and you're both alluding to a lot of things. But what actually did it look like being an assistant? Like what was the day-to-day of it all?
So a lot of the common tasks are very office administrative tasks. So like everything from answering the phones like receptionists would do, all the way to ordering office supplies, scheduling meetings. For my case, it was scheduling recording sessions at the studio, right? Booking travel, hotel transfers for tours and things like that. Correspondence, like email inbox management, preparing reports and PowerPoint presentations, BS like that. And then all the way to like the things that you hear about that are common, like running personal errands, getting people lunch, and then really bizarre things like you gotta be on your toes if something happens and breaks. Like you gotta figure out how to fix the printer, right? You gotta figure out how to like do very tasks that aren't part of your job just because your boss wants it done, then you have to do it. Like your main job as an assistant is literally to make your boss's life easier.
Yes, exactly. You're basically on call 24/7 for the person you're working with. So in addition to the tasks that they tell you that are a part of your job, like I worked on podcasts, on shows, I worked on sets. So there's certain things that you know you have to do with that job. The other part is being the most resourceful bitch out of water you could possibly be 24/7. Like there, you can't ask questions because they expect, it's annoying and you don't want your boss annoyed of you. So like you try to minimize the amount of space and time you take up as much as possible while maximizing the amount of things you can accomplish in a day without bothering anyone. And it's like there in a lot of production sets, assistants aren't technically allowed to do personal errands. I'll tell you now, that doesn't actually happen. I've gotten medications for people. I've taken dogs out for walks. I have checked on kids. And one time I was getting a coffee order for everyone. And one of the directors in the room was like, one day you're going to make a really great wife. And then the next set with a different production company, they got all the assistants in a room, which many of us were women at the time. And they said, we need you to not walk by the director because he has a problem with young girls.
What's your response to both of those things? So you're going to make a great wife and don't walk by the director because he might flirt with you. What do you say?
I said, okay. Because it's like so... It's so hard because when you're out of it or when you get home, you know, when like you're in a conversation, you're like, oh, I wish I said this. Oh, I should have said this. But when you're in that mode and you're playing that role, it's like, yes, ma'am. No, sir. Yes, sir. And you don't really have response time. I know that one of the women complained about the director thing because she's like, it's like, she used a great example. It's like when schools are like, you can't wear tank tops in class because it distracts the boys, putting the onus on the girls as opposed to teaching boys not to be disgusting little perverts. And it's like that same thing. Then don't hire this fucking director if he can't be in the room with women.
Yeah, like, or a vice president then can only be in a room if his mother's there. similar to that.
Why, Steph, is your inner voice actually Luigi? I should have said this. I wish I said that.
It's me, Mario. Mario Steez. Yeah, because if I had an Italian inside of me, I would probably be way more passionate.
I know this is going to sound crazy, but you guys know me. I'm a little bit of a workaholic, and I love jobs that don't consist of a 9-to-5 when you're in an office. From what you guys are both describing so far, it sounds a little fun. Like, there's a ton going on. There's always something new to do. You're always having to be resourceful and figure things out on your feet. Is it ever fun? Because for the most part, when I hear people talk about being assistants, they roll their eyes and are like, this is brutal. But the way you guys just described it seemed possibly enjoyable.
No, it's definitely parts of it are good. There's also, by the way, a difference between being like a personal assistant or an executive assistant.
Production assistant.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, like, the word assistant just makes it for people or for bosses or anybody that's higher up to treat you like crap or without respect compared to the other people. However, because, as I said earlier, these people do treat you kind of like a family member, they do end up including you in the perks of their lives, right? So I got to do a lot of things, not just really cool shit in the music industry, like sit in recording sessions and things like that, or go to client dinners. Or, you know, if we were securing like a deal with a record label, I got to actually go to Interscope Records, you know, and go to like the higher ups' offices and meet all these people that were very powerful people. And you're kind of just sitting there in the room like nobody gives a crap about who I am. There's like a 23-year-old, you know, this was like almost 20 years ago. And you basically are just kind of not even starstruck, but just like, wow, there's so much going on here. And there's all of these people that are very well respected, that I, even if they kind of are douchey men that don't treat women great, I'm still could learn something from them, right? Like, there's definitely perks about that, depending on the type of job that you have. And I personally really like administrative stuff. Like, I'm really an organized person, and I like cleanliness, and I like, you know, I did actually enjoy doing menial tasks sometimes, like the 9-to-5 part of the job, which was like managerial administrative type tasks. I don't know if Steph did, but I certainly did.
Yeah, I refuse not to have fun. I know we've said how hard it is to be an assistant, and it really is. And there's a time where you tap on people because you're so intertwined with their lives. It's only natural that you kind of get annoyed of each other. And there's this thing with people in power where they think everyone is lazy when they just like don't want to do something that's completely out of their own capacity. So I think that's the part that is when you can tap on and I expire. But there's so much good shit in being an assistant. Like, I would say definitely, if you are having hard time getting into the entertainment industry, or you are just dabbling with the idea of wanting to be in it, or just moving to LA and figuring shit out, it is so cool to be able to watch someone in a very high level do what they do. And they're usually around high powered people. So when I was an assistant property manager, I was able to meet all of these celebrities and sit in the boardrooms with their architects and their consultants and like figuring out all of these opulent things. And it's like, cool, you know, it's all of these things that it's excess and it's so much and a little dramatic. They're like, well, the neighbor said I couldn't build above 10 feet. Oh my God, this neighbor put a hideous gnome in their front yard. We're gonna have a fucking conniption. I thought that shit was hilarious. I started keeping a diary of all their complaints of rich people. And then when I worked with celebrities, you know, I got to go to the fucking Oscars, man. And it was awesome working in that fast-paced production and actually getting to see how they put on from the back end when they go live onto TV, and the interviews and the dresses and the outfits. I mean, it's really special. And then even my financial advisor, I learned a lot from. I was sitting in the boardroom with 50 men sometimes, all talking numbers, and I got to see how they do their taxes. And I feel like I learned a lot from that, because you notice how rich people finagle the system to get more money. And it's like, boss moves, you know? Like, I'm not saying it's right, but you learn from them and it's cool.
Yeah, and the other part too is that it's not just, like Steph said, the glamorous stuff that you get to be around. Like, I have stories that I can't talk about publicly of just being at after parties for, like, Grammy Awards and shit like that. Or, again, like, just being in all these recording studios, like, you hear everybody's themselves. So if you are into reality TV, like my girl Roxy here, and I know Steph likes it a little bit too recently, this is the best type of reality TV you can get. Like, just even being in the office of, you know, the people that handle album manufacturing and production for an artist, and seeing, you know, the mess of people there with, like, you got the glam team, you got the managers, like, you got all these different people that are creating this product, and there's a lot of people involved, right? It's not just Ariana Grande that is her lonesome self that creates an album, right? You got all kinds of people behind the scenes, the producers, the music publishers, like, it's a lot of people. So you not only learn a lot, but you get to see everyone at their best and at their worst creating something together. And that's really cool. You learn a lot through those experiences.
Steph said earlier that there's a certain point in which you just kind of tap, because even if it is fun and entertaining, there's a certain point where you just don't want to be somebody's fucking assistant anymore, which I'm sure you feel the same way, Dee. I've always heard, and when I say I've heard, just from being in the entertainment industry for 13 years, that 2 years is the amount of time that you should be somebody's assistant, that you should make it to the 2-year mark. Do you guys think that there's any validity in that? Or what do you guys think about how long you should be somebody's assistant?
I think that makes sense. I think I was personally lucky because my first boss hired me as his executive assistant. And in a couple of years, basically let me be like one of the managers there. And I think it's cool if you do have a good boss, even if they're, you know, they got issues like everybody does, they actually care about you succeeding because you work for them, right? So they will give you constructive criticism. And no matter where you are in your career, if you're working for them, he's also always going to notice, he or she will always notice where you're putting in effort. So if you have good bosses, they will promote you. But then obviously there's the sad case where they don't want you to leave them. And so they keep you for longer.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, I've heard that a few times from people. I would say my rule of thumb, and I'm not the master at this, is stay a place at least a year. And if you can make it 2 years, I do think that there's a lot more benefits that come from a year of building trust with someone. They let you in on more knowledge. They take you to more things. They're more comfortable around you. And there's give and takes to that, but there is more pluses in that than minuses, I would say.
So you're saying the first year is kind of like just getting to know each other more and that trust, and that the second year might actually, even if your first year wasn't a great experience, the second year might be a better experience for you, the assistant.
Yeah, because you're literally a bitch out of water when you're an assistant. Like, every day feels like you were dunked into a pool and you're like, what the fuck is this? Where the fuck is that? What am I supposed to be saying and doing? And like, you're figuring out the tasks and the way this person runs their life and business, or the way the business runs their business, and you make a lot of mistakes, and you want to be able to end a place on a high note. Like, I try not to leave any place with bad vibes or a bad job. The last projects I'm going to turn in are going to be my best projects. That's always been the goal that I've had to make. But I would say that the second year, you're just more comfortable with the position. And although you sign an NDA when you start at most of these places, because you're dealing with a lot of confidential information, it's hard to build trust. So, you know, like, a signature on a document doesn't really mean much when it comes to, like, behind the scenes creating something with someone. But one thing that I really learned as an assistant is the way I watch celebrities' social media now. I really love the celebrities. Teyana Taylor is one I can think of that comes to mind first. Is when she does a video project, she's recently been directing stuff, she'll tag literally every single person, including the assistants, hair, makeup, lights, videographer, whatever, with the assistants, because it's like, that's what it takes to show what you have on screen. And it really bugs me when I see celebrities who, like, never tag their assistants, their social media manager, nothing. And they're just like, yeah, I'm this funny and this creative and this great. Like, nah.
So thinking about it, looking back, Why do you think so many people do not give credit to their assistant?
Because people are egotistical and they want to feel and think that they came up with the idea first. Even not just being an assistant, I'm sure you all have had the experience of being in a room saying something and then having your boss repeat it later and be like, this is a great idea I just came up with, right? So I think it just comes from that. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that just do that all the time. It's not just the fact that you're stealing ideas, because obviously there's so many things that are copies and not original anymore, but it's that ego thing of like not giving other people credit, even though every single product that's out there, every single project that comes to light is because of a team of people. It's not just one person. It never is, right? So it's really bizarre to me that people don't put that respect out there, because I would never say like, yep, I am, you know, founder and CEO of the World Girls and I did it all. Like, knowing that this is like a 3-person company, right? Or like, we are always trying to give a shout out to our editors and to anybody that's worked with us, our interns, etc., because we know deep down that it's not just us and it'd be impossible. I just, unfortunately, in the entertainment industry, there's a lot of ego.
So on top of the ego, what would you guys say is the worst part about being an assistant?
The first thing that comes to mind, I'm curious what you're going to say, Steph. But you basically kind of become their shrink. And I know that this is the case for a lot of people that are like, you know, that cut your hair, right? Like, or that you're a bartender, right? You end up talking to your customers. But because you're in a daily and nightly relationship with this person that you work for, they think that they can call you whenever they want. They have no respect for your time or energy because they're paying you. So in their eyes, they own your time and your energy, and you should be available for them at any time, no matter what. Your life doesn't matter. If you have a family event, that's not important to them because they need you, right? So you become like somebody that they think they own. And I think that that's a very shitty thing that happens to a lot of people that have assistants.
Yeah, that I definitely agree with, and kind of pair it with people who have assistants are highly successful just based on the ability to have an assistant. And I think that growing up and being young, and when I was an assistant and like looking up to these people that are in positions of power like this and seeing their disassociation with reality and how it actually is as a person who's not in that position of power is very disappointing and jading. And I want to believe, because I want, you know, all three of us to be highly successful, have assistants one day and be like fucking cool and normal still and pay them well and treat them well and give them time off and not get disassociated. Because it's scary. It's scary to watch someone who, as soon as the camera turns on, they're the most likable person ever and trying to relate to the everybody and the every person, big, small, everywhere in between. And then when the camera's off, their tone changes, the disrespect kicks in. And for me, like, getting disrespected verbally or by action is so highly, like, it boils my blood, and you're not in a position to do anything about it. So it's like, it's that.
Do you think that, because you're mentioning that people kind of change, do you think that when somebody is just able to get an assistant, they treat them better than somebody who maybe has had an assistant for a decade plus?
I think so, definitely. I also think that different generations are changing. So I see, like, Phoebe, I always forget her name, from Two Dope Queens. She's a best-selling author. She has her own show on Freeform now. She's fucking hilarious comedian. And she has an assistant that I've never seen this before. They're like homies, and the assistant will film stuff for her, and she'll be talking in the background, and you can just tell the rapport between them is so cool. So I think that A, it's like how long you've had an assistant, but B, I think that the younger generations are changing things because we experienced it, and we're not like the older generations where we're like, we experienced it, so they have to experience it. I think we're the generation that are like, we experienced that. Oh, hell no, I'm never putting someone through that.
Exactly, Steph. That's a very good point. And I would add that another thing I've noticed is that assistants just literally become the scapegoat for every problem that happens. So that's another way where there's zero respect put on these positions sometimes, where, you know, if a client didn't get their invoice, oh, it's because the assistant forgot to send the mail out. Or if your boss was late to a meeting, it's because the assistant forgot to put it on the schedule. They always blame you. And I just, like, man, just own your shit. Like, it's not that hard. Just because you're the boss, you're still not perfect. You make mistakes, and just treat people like human beings. It's very bizarre to me.
What kind of money can you expect to make as an assistant? If you're moving to Hollywood and you're like, okay, I'm willing to be somebody's assistant, is minimum wage typical? Is working OT typical? Like, what can you actually expect?
Minimum wage and overtime, sometimes not paid overtime, most of the time not paid overtime, but minimum wage.
Yeah. In my experience, especially back in the day, the pay was just covering rent and utilities. And then if you're lucky and you work for a bigger company, sometimes you would get, you know, per diem, or you would get your gas paid, for example. But if you're just starting out, most people don't give a crap and they just pay you minimum wage.
Do either of you guys have a crazy story or some kind of situation that when you think about being an assistant, this is what your mind goes to?
One time we were shooting a music video with one of our artist clients. And for those of you that have worked on a set, you know that things are very hectic and there's a lot of moving parts. And for music videos specifically, they're usually shot only over 2 or 3 days max, right? So everything has to go down like perfectly so we can wrap in time. And the, you know, the label only gives you a certain amount of budget for the music video itself, right? Because they're already putting in a bunch of budget for the album production. And so I remember, you know, you got your directors, your production assistants, you got your glam team that's there for the artists themselves, and then you got your manager team. And back then, it was literally just my boss and I. And so anything that was not done or taken care of fell onto me. Even though there's other people there that could do these jobs, like, I had to do everything. So it was like an insane day of being yelled at constantly, like, Dorina this, Dorina that, go get that, and just with zero respect throughout the day. And even like being yelled at in front of everyone all day for not being the fucking Flash and being able to be fast at going to get shit, right? So that shit fucks with you, right? After a while, you're like, this is kind of like abusive, right? Because they don't treat you like human beings, right? They treat you as like these robots that are supposed to be there. I don't care if you eat. I don't care if, you know, you drink water, you go to the bathroom, like, you are here and you're working for us. And if you want to keep your job, you gotta just do this. And it's basically like Devil Wears Prada vibes. It was kind of insane.
Definitely Devil Wears Prada vibes. That movie is so relatable for, I feel like, every assistant. But I'll say a positive story, one that, like, actually this experience makes a lot worth it, right? So I mentioned before I was working as an assistant at the Oscars for someone. And she was going to be hosting interviews. And so she asked me to come the day before for the rehearsals and the day of. And it was really cool because this was totally her element. And it's really cool to see someone that you respect and look up to in their element. It's like the best time you'll have with them in a lot of ways, at least in my experience, because you can learn a lot and it's fucking fun. And I went into like my athlete mode. I like mentally was like preparing for it because it was like the biggest job I had had thus far. And I was like, you got to lock in, Steph. You got to lock in and be ready for anything and be the best assistant on this entire floor, this entire red carpet. And so from the moment I got there, I was sweating balls, running back and forth. But really, because I knew what I was going to do, I knew that I was going to be like the errand girl, the assistant, whatever you need. If it's personal, if it's not, I'm fucking ready for it. And that's what I did. And it was really fun. And I could see all there's so many celebrities there that were doing the interviews. I got to talk to them all, kind of got to pick their brains about how each of them were preparing for their interview segments. And the production team, I think it was ABC at the time, was so awesome. Like, at first you meet them and they're very like cold because they're moving from thing to thing, and they, you cannot mess up a single thing on live TV. So they're preparing for that. And I was able to meet them, work with them, be right by their side. And then I did such a good job that they were saying it to the person I was working for. And then, like, they all connected with me on Instagram and email. And I just remember feeling really, really rewarded for that time there. Even though you're in the small part, you can play a big, big part on days like that. And that actually helps the person you're with. When you can actually help someone, it makes being the assistant worth it. Because that's fun. Like, I like to help people. And I think the worst part is when you feel like you're not helping the person you're supposed to help, either because you were set up that way or because it just wasn't like the right task for you. But when you can help someone and that's your role for that time in your life, it's fucking cool.
Was there ever a time in which, because I know both of you have spoken about being blamed for things that maybe you didn't do or not being set up well, but was there ever a time as an assistant that you were like, oh, I really fucked this up?
Yeah, for sure. And I didn't have a problem with admitting when I fucked something up. You just have to own up to it. And even though they're going to be mad at you, everyone messes it up. And from my experience, they like you a lot more and respond to you a lot better if you just come clean quick. Because when they notice it, they're going to be like, why didn't you tell me that? So it's way better to be like, I messed this email up. That's why I'm about to send a second one. I really apologize. I made a note for myself so it won't happen again. It's like you're telling them something that you're going to do that will fix the problem that you made.
Dee, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that also, as we mentioned earlier, when you were starting out most jobs, even if you have the supposed skill set or your resume says you can do the job, you don't really know if you're going to be able to do the job until you have the job. For the purposes of being an assistant, it's even more that way, right? So you are learning on the job, and a lot of people that are your bosses aren't really telling you how to do your job. They just tell you what needs to be done, which makes for making mistakes all the time. But honestly, by making mistakes is how I learned how to actually be better at my job. Because if I didn't make those mistakes, you literally learn on the job, right? So if you have a good boss, they will respect the fact that you're honest with them and they will give you constructive criticism and help you fix the issue, right? If you have a shitty boss, they'll fire you.
Is there anything to the future assistants out there or to people who are currently assistants, is there anything you guys advise them to say no to? And if so, how do you go about saying no?
If there's a task that you actually know right off bat you're not going to be able to accomplish in the time or parameters they've given you, I would say that immediately. Because one of my biggest mistakes I would make is say that I could do whatever it was in the time that they gave me, and then having to have an extension or like an excuse of why I couldn't get it done when I kind of knew it was an unreasonable request. So I think if you hear something that feels unreasonable, don't say it's unreasonable, but say, from the sounds of what you've explained to me, I think it's going to take me a little bit longer, or I think I'm going to need this to accomplish this.
Right. And it's also, don't be afraid to say no to things, right? Because the issue with being an assistant is that not only are you used as a scapegoat and you're blamed for things, but these bosses are going to push you as far as they can. If they can ask you to freaking clean their kids' poop from their ass and you say yes, then of course they're going to be like, oh, you can do anything I ask, right? So you got to be careful there and also make sure that you're establishing boundaries and limits, especially because these people, especially when they're in front of other people, they treat you a certain way in order to show that they have to be respected, right? So it's this weird like self-promotion grandiosity that they're like, oh, see, I have this assistant that works for me. So therefore this assistant fears and respect me. So you have to as well, right? And so that's where you have to make sure you're drawing a line for yourself and being like, I work for you and I will, you know, do the tasks that you're requiring of me because you're paying me, but I'm not going to do something that I'm uncomfortable with.
And that's literally what you'd say to them, Dee. Like if they said, can you please go wipe my kid's ass? You would say, no, I cannot. And here's why.
Yeah. And I'm lucky that I didn't have that many examples like that, but I did have experiences like that, not with my bosses, but with certain clients, right? Where certain client, because when you are a manager, your clients are basically people that you babysit. So they will ask you for the dumbest things. Like I remember this client had a really weird relationship with her sister, where her sister was kind of like Cinderella. And her sister would just kind of be her assistant. And so I remember staying in a hotel room with them, and she literally like would start her bath for her sister and things like that. And the artist client would just sit there and do nothing, treat it like a diva. And then her sister would ask me, do you mind, making sure the bath is warm? And I'm like, that's not part of my tasks, but, you know, thank you for that. So I would have to actually make sure to do shit like that, right? And then I would actually go back and tell my boss about it because it was, you know, such ridiculous stories that they would actually understand and sympathize with me because I had a good, kind boss.
I think it depends, for me personally, who you're working for and what it is. Like clients, I think drawing the line there for like that situation, that's totally out of her. It's not going to make her career better, Dorina's career better, and it's not actually her job. But if you're a personal assistant to someone who you believe could help your career, or it's the right, you need their recommendation, whatever it may be, there's almost nothing that I would probably say no to when I was just starting. When I was 22-year-old Steph, and I was working for someone who would indeed advance my career or show me a lot more of the industry that I wouldn't have the ability to see without them, I'm not saying no, basically, unless it's like murder.
What is the end to this sentence for you guys? So finish the sentence. Being an assistant is
hard work, but worth the experience when you're starting out.
Similar to being in the service industry, but sometimes treated shittier. And then sometimes you get to win at the end.
A lot of perks and a lot of bullshit.
Damn. Kind of glad I missed it. But also kind of FOMO.
Well, but now you know when you have your own assistant, Roxy.
What is the one thing that you're going to remind yourself for if and when you have an assistant?
I think the biggest thing is respect, right? I think for anybody, I've always told myself, no matter what job I end up with, I'm hopeful that the World Girls continue to get big with everybody's support and we can hire people to work for us, not just freelance. And I just really want to have a culture of respect for my employees. Like, you guys know how I am about, you know, CEOs not paying their employees well and not respecting their time and their work-life balance. So those are things I really value, that I would like to make sure that everybody that ever works for me has those things.
Yeah, respect and collaboration. I think understanding that this is an individual who is helping you and has stuff to offer you, and you have stuff to offer them, whether that be mentorship or the job. And then finally, a note that I always remember when I started finishing assistants, or maybe it was in the middle of being an assistant. I remember thinking to myself, when you're a good assistant, you can do literally anything. I believe that assistants, great assistants, are the most powerful workers, period. Like, when you are good at that job and you're ready to leave, I know you can do anything you fucking want because you've been through the ringer.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Steph. Yeah, like I'm very thankful for all the experiences I had, because you really get to see it all and then figure out if you survive it all. And you really do bring those experiences into your future jobs, not just when you become a boss and you know, you actually know how you want to treat your employees, but also just in collaborating, right? Like, just being part of a team is so helpful when you're an assistant, because you really appreciate that everybody that's part of that team is actually making things happen and it's not just you.
Okay.
All right, kids, let's move on to our Patreon question. patreon.com/theworldgirls is where you can join the best community on the internet and ask us all the questions about our podcast, or if you just want to say hi, the Discord is great. So Mark Ali is asking, obviously you aren't assistants anymore, but would you do it again if you had to? What would be the deciding factor to make you go back?
I would never, ever go back unless it was something that was going to be beneficial for my career or someone that I respected really needed me in that position for the time that they needed me. But other than that, I really do feel like it's time served. Like, I really feel like I locked in the time and the experience. So I would just never do it unless I really felt like it was going to be beneficial one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a job that you apply for that's an entry-level position job. I think everybody here has worked their asses off for several years that we would probably not want to do that job anymore unless it's paid very extremely well. And it'd be, like Steph said, you know, it's working for somebody that you actually respect. If someone like John Carpenter wanted me to be his assistant, I might say yes. You know, if it's somebody you really idolize and admire, I'd be like, sure. Like, it just depends on the person. It really depends on the situation. But it's not something that I right now would go apply to on because I'm 40. So let's move on to our segment called Pros and Cunts. Steph, what are the pros of being an assistant?
Experience, first and foremost. You grow in your people skills immensely. You have the ability to become more resourceful, which I think in any career that you have after the fact will be helpful. And then you get to do a lot of cool shit. Like, I drove over 100K BMW almost every day. Just whipping it through Santa Monica. And that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the perks, especially if you're in the entertainment industry, are wild. Like, I'll never forget being, you know, at Capitol Records at a studio recording session with Beck's dad, David Campbell, who was one of the most respected orchestral arrangers, working on one of our clients' albums, you know, or seeing Vinny Colaiuta, an amazing studio session drummer. Just, you know, those things are magical, right? Like, those moments are like amazing, and you're just there as like somebody that helped organize the situation, but you're part of something that's really cool, especially when it's, you know, an art form. So those moments are not as easy to come by unless you're extremely successful, right? So those are really, really cool pros. And also just the entertainment aspect of it, again, because no one really respects you. They're truly awful selves come out, and it's hilarious to watch because you're like, humans are just animals. And that really, really made me more confident in just who I am. And I also just really learned how to treat people with kindness. What about the cunt, Steph?
The requests asked of you, the time and hours that you put in for something that's not for your personal business, and the disrespect that you receive from being in that position.
Yeah, your boss really doesn't care about your excuses, and you're literally at the bottom of the respect pole. And again, the scapegoat for every single thing that happens that's not correct. So the respect thing is really shitty. And I hope it's changing, like we said, with the new generations. Also, sometimes the pay can be shit.
The pay is really shitty.
Yeah. All right, we did it, ladies. Thanks for being a bitch out of water with us and learning about the devil wearing Prada but still needing a therapist. Thank you for listening. If you want to get all the World Girl things, go to patreon.com/theworldgirls so you can watch our podcast tapings live, ask questions, see our faces, and get a bunch of cool benefits while being a part of the best community in town. We go live on youtube.com/theworldgirls every Wednesday and Sunday night. And don't forget to follow us on social media, on Twitter and TikTok at theworldgirls, and on Instagram at worldgirlswap. We recently started this podcast, so please tell your friends about us, subscribe, and leave a review. We're all gonna die, so don't be a dick, especially to those who work for you. Stay wet, my friends.